Hello, 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 everyone. It is Adina, and I am here today to share with you some of my musings, right? Some of my thoughts. So welcome back to the Apparently I'm a Parent podcast, where I just try to give us a break. You know what I mean? I don't have to be here a long time. Some episodes might be longer than others. Y'all know how it goes. But we're here today. We're going to discuss emotional intelligence. I know y'all are probably burnt the hell out on emotional intelligence. Side note, if you've never been here before, hey girl, hey, I'm Adina. I cuss. I love the Lord. I am into my spirituality practices. But specifically, child, I don't know, girl. We still out here. We a little bit floundering with that, but we're kind of honing some things. I'm a mom of three beautiful girls, and I am 40. I just turned 40, and my children are 9, 6, and 4. And so I am navigating a very, very vast ocean. So I just wanted to kind of give you guys a heads up of who I am in case you were not aware and in case I've never done it before. So listen, y'all. This podcast is a place where I can kind of just be myself. Everything else in my life requires structure and requires me to be somebody else, right? So this is absolutely the place where you will find me with my hair down, even though I am a hashtag bald John. And shout out to my hairdresser. So you'll really get a lot of different facets of me. There's no rhyme or reason here. If you need a podcast with structure, I'm sorry. I'm not going to do it here. So here's that. There's that, rather. So today I wanted to talk about emotional intelligence. Just kind of, you know, we'll go through like the definition of it. We'll go through, you know, all the rave about emotional intelligence and the conversations that I've seen. I don't have any statistics, so I'm not even going to lie to you about that. If I happen to come across one while I'm on Psychology Today, which is where I'm going to be pulling my definitions from, and a few other things that I've looked at on there concerning emotional intelligence. And of course, I'm going to share my business with you guys because that's why we're here. Not really because we want to be nosy and know what's going on with Adina, but also because we want to learn and grow and we want to take a break from parenting, right? And so we want to talk about other things. As a side note here, I am also actively going through a divorce, my second divorce of this lifetime. So that is where a lot of the upcoming content is going to come from is just my run-ins with this divorce situation and situations that I experienced within the body of the marriage. That actually leads me to this topic of emotional intelligence. When we start, we'll probably touch on like emotional laboring and all of those kinds of things because, girl, anyway. So, emotional intelligence refers to the ability to identify and manage one's own emotions, as well as emotions of others. Emotional intelligence is generally said to include a few skills, namely emotional awareness, or the ability to identify the name of one's own emotions, the ability to harness those emotions and apply them to tasks like thinking and problem solving, and the ability to manage emotions, which includes both regulating one's own emotions when necessary and helping others to do the same. So, y'all, emotional intelligence is a new topic or conversation for me since I have, since the descending began in my second marriage. Emotional intelligence is something that I have been dealing with, or a lack thereof, in partners for years. And so it is also something that I have recognized that I do pretty well. I will say that I'm an emotionally intelligent person, but I do struggle in certain areas. Adina, so what do you mean? So where we talked about in the definition here, where it talks about like emotional awareness and the ability to manage emotions, which includes both regulating one's own emotions. I struggle with regulating my emotions when I'm not met by the person that is said to love me. And I have recognized that here as of late. And because I get so, I don't know if I would necessarily call it like being passionate about the way that I proceed, this is going to have me sounding like I'm going through some sort of Stockholm syndrome, but my perceived, or the way that someone's treated me flat out, right? The way that I know what happened, happened, right? The gaslighting of it all, right? And so I struggle to regulate my emotions in those moments where I'm being told that what I know happened did not happen. It's kind of like, what is it? What do they call it? It's not the Jordan effect. What the hell do they call it? You know, that thing where like, so I'm 40. So I grew up in the 90s, right? I was born in 83, grew up in the 90s. And like when we were kids, Fruit Loops were spelled like fruit, F-R-U-I-T, right? But now when you go to the store, the Fruit Loops are F-R-O-O-T, I think, or something like that, right? And so, but they have erased everything basically from our childhood to confirm what it is that we know happened in our childhood with a slew of things. Commercials, girl, they, everybody know that Ed McMahon was on the home, what was it? The Publishing Clear's house, honey. He was knocking on them people doors with them big old cardboard checks. We all know that. We saw Ed McMahon on the TV when our grandmama and our auntie was watching them stories, baby. We saw Ed McMahon on the thing with the thing over at the thing. But if you go on the internet, baby, they done swiped it clean. Ed McMahon was not a part of the Publishing Clear's house. You saw somebody else. So whatever that is, is it the butterfly effect? Y'all, I can't remember, child, and I'm not finna gonna Google it, but y'all know what I'm talking about, okay? So having those experiences with people that claim to love me puts me in a tailspin. It puts me in an absolute tailspin. I'm angry. I'm frustrated. I cry because I'm angry and I'm frustrated. You hurt my feelings. You're invalidating me. Like all of these big freaking emotions just jump out and I struggle to regulate those things. And that is where I got into wanting to like have this conversation today. Wherever you're listening to this podcast, please feel free to leave a review. My email is always open. Also, I will put all of that in the show notes for you guys so we can actually have a conversation about it. I'm thinking about opening up a Facebook forum so we can discuss the episodes. You know, some episodes will be heavier, some will not be. And I'm going to do this every time you come to the podcast. So I'm sorry. Again, no structure, girl. So anyway, the last year of my life has been absolute hell. And it has been a absolute struggle for me to not accept the divorce, because like initially I had that shock where I was like, so what do we do to fix it? He told me flat out there was no room for reconciliation after he decided that there was going to be a divorce. This was 6 months after I stopped breastfeeding our youngest and 9 months after he adopted adopted my daughter. So, which is another conversation. He just woke up one day and told me that there was no reconciliation and that he was tired of, I don't even know what he was tired of, y'all. Child, we'll just put me in there. Okay, just tired of me. Now, as a little bit of context for this conversation, y'all, I had a daughter when I met him. I have to have this conversation with her. So if you know me, then please, by all means. Anyway, don't put this out there to her. So I had a daughter when I met him. She was like 2.5. What was I saying? So I basically spent our whole marriage pregnant. We were married for 7 years. Our anniversary was May 25th. So this year was 7 years, right? So we're still in the divorce process. So I guess I'm using the correct tense. Anyway, I literally got pregnant the weekend that we got engaged. We got married in May. We got engaged in February, got married in May. I lost our first daughter, alone in a hospital room after almost losing my own life, which he was never made aware of till well after the fact because he didn't want to talk about it. But she died after giving birth. I was about 4 to 5 months pregnant. And so because of the weird space that I was in terms of gestation, they weren't willing to save the kid, right? So I had to basically lay there drugged up and listen to my daughter die. Very emotional, over the top, whatever. That's what happened, okay? And the nurses apparently thought that I was going to die in the process too. It was really crazy. Apparently there was a lot going on. If you've birthed children, you know, it can go left super fast. And, with me being in the state that I was with her, blah, 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 whatever. So that was June of 2016. And not even a month later, y'all, I was on the road moving to where I live now, to be with him. My daughter and I moved up because I couldn't leave. I was on bed rest with the baby, blah, 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 blah. Right. I get here and in July, and by November, by the time Thanksgiving came around, I was pregnant with my now middle daughter, my 6-year-old. And with that pregnancy, I had to have a cerclage placed, and I had to have weekly progesterone injections, right? So from like 15, 16 weeks all the way until the end. So like 38 weeks, I think, and some change. I think they took me off 37 weeks, 38 weeks, whatever it was. They took me off of it. Okay. My best friend, my sweetheart, my absolute love, my best friend died July 31st of 2017. Okay. They found her. That's a whole nother podcast for another day, honey. We will talk about that another day. I called to talk to her because a friend of hers called me who never called me. And she was like, is Ash okay? And I was like, I have no idea. I said, let me call her and see. So I call and I'm like, girl, why you ain't answering the phone for, you know, your friend? And she was like, I'm sorry. She's like, this isn't Ash. I was like, oh, I was like, is she available? And she was like, you're Adina, right? And I was like, yeah. She was like, Ash is your baby's godmom, right? And I was like, yeah. And she was like, this is her cousin. She was like, Ash died last night. And I am fully 38 weeks pregnant. And I let out this blood-curdling scream. And my body went into shock. And my brain kind of cut off for a second. And I was just kind of there. I couldn't cry. I just kind of was there. Right? And my best friend's birthday is the day before mine, right? And 2 days before my oldest daughter, because her birthday is the day after mine, right? We were super close, super close. Right? And so her mom was having her ceremony. Okay, and in that moment, I got no support, okay? All I got was, oh, I'm sorry to hear that. From my husband, right? And I think a hug. I don't want to be dismissive, but I think I got a hug there too. That Friday was her memorial service. She was her mother's only child. Her mother knew how close we were. Her mother, you know, knows me. We still communicate to this day, yada, yada, yada. And her service was that Friday, and I was going to go to the service, but I ended up going into labor at like 11 o'clock at night that Thursday. And my daughter, my beautiful, beautiful baby, was born at 7:01 that morning, that Friday morning. And my girlfriend's service was at 7 o'clock that night down in Maryland. And so needless to say, I couldn't go because I was hospital bound with my new baby. And nothing about my best friend was ever spoken about again. So all of those years that I went through that, I've been going through that alone and grieving, right? So I did that. I tried to breastfeed my child. I had nightmares. My mother came. I had like vivid nightmares of my best friend's death. Like it was a lot. It was a lot coming down off of like the medication and the epidural and all that kind of, it was just really, it was crazy. And so, when my baby was 9 months old, I was pregnant with my third child, right? And imagine also now, so COVID hadn't broken out by now, but like my ex-husband and I, we talked a lot, but we didn't have in-depth conversations, right? There was never this like push from him that was like, hey, you know, I'm really struggling with this or this happened today and I'm looking for this kind. You know, it was just never that. And meanwhile, my life, like my brain, just everything about me just changed that I remembered of who I am, right? Who I was, whatever. And I didn't even feel safe enough emotionally to talk about those things because it was so much going on in the day to day that my personality is to just not talk about me, right? And so to avoid those things about myself where I am, like where I need someone to like stand in the gap for me, right? Or just kind of be there for me and kind of help me work through what I'm going through. I'll put myself on the back burner and I put everybody before me. Well, I was, right? At that time, that's where I was. And so no boundaries, just, you know, if you love me and I love you, then I'm doing whatever I got to for you. You know, whatever it is you need, if it's within my wheelhouse, I'm going to get it done. And so I went from an independent woman that was taking care of one child to the mother of two. And I was a stay-at-home mom from the day I went into labor. Like really the day my best friend died, because I couldn't do it. I couldn't even get up and go to work. And I was working like a little part-time job. It wasn't like I was doing a whole lot. I really was working to pay for daycare for my kid. And anyway, so we get onto this new baby. Same thing. Got to have the circulation, please. Got to do these shots every week. And like, the way that I remember it was not that there was a lot of like affection and like deep emotional communication that was happening. Now, granted, a lot of that was my fault too, because I didn't feel like my feelings mattered to this person, or I didn't matter enough to this person. And so for me, like with my love language and stuff, I like feeling like I need tangible things to let me know that you love me. I have to hear you tell me you love me in conjunction with your actions showing that you love me. Now, does that always have to be hugs and kisses? No, but I feel like something in your actions should correlate with the words of your speaking, like with the words that you're speaking, right? And if they don't, for me, there is a disconnect, right? So there's either one of two things happening. Either you do love me and you want to show me that you love me, but you're not able to do that. And you also can't speak to that thing because you're not really sure how to approach it. And maybe you are scared of like a level of rejection or like being corrected, or maybe you have something going on there within yourself. And that's fair. That's valid. Or, you know, you're just saying these things because it's going to garner you something that you want, right? And that's how that breaks down for me in my brain. But honestly, it could be a million things, right? It could be a million things. But for me, those are kind of the two things. Either you're struggling with how to put the two things together to express your thoughts and feelings, or you're just kind of basically milking the situation, just trying to do what you got to do to get by. And that's the breakdown for me. So I went through this, no hugs, no kisses. It's going to be okay. There were no like belly rubs and talking to the baby and this and that, maybe a hand on the stomach here and there. Oh, you getting bigger. You know what I mean? But it was always stuff like that. It was never like a man, you know, you look beautiful today. You're this or you're that, or oh, I can't wait for the baby. What don't we do but this for the baby? Why don't? It was always me approaching those things, right? It was always me. Hey, handsome, how you doing? The touches, the feels, the this and the that. But I wasn't doing the communicating, I guess, on a soul level. But I also was dealing with my own, and we were just not in a space, I guess, emotionally connected where we could just pick up on that, because we immediately went into having kids, right? We built a foundation, but it wasn't a full foundation. It was like, we got the kitchen. Okay. The kitchen got a foundation. The living room is assed out, but you know, we also got 3/4 of the upstairs done. How you got the upstairs and you ain't even got the downstairs, bitch? I don't even fucking know, but it was some weird shit like that. Okay. That's kind of how our house was built. And that's how that for me. There wasn't a full like layout, a foundation. Boom, this is where I'm at. I'm emotionally invested here. And also, you know, to be honest, you know, you only make decisions based on the information that you have at the time, right? So here's my note to those women that may be listening to this, and men, honestly, like anybody listening to this. my note to you is to never feel bad about the decisions that you've made in life concerning people, things, jobs, yada, yada, none of this shit, where you live at, what kind of car you drive. You can only make decisions based on the information that you have at hand at that time, in conjunction with the information that you choose to use from your bank, right? So if you know this particular thing is a red flag for you or in general, but you still try to go with it, you got to be able to say, hey, I did do that. You got to stand 10 toes in it. And you can't be sad or upset or angry about what you get as a return from it, because you said you was okay with it. So that means that you have to be okay with the results of that thing too now. Okay. So just as a moment of, you know, taking on your own shit and, you know, working on that emotional intelligence and saying, hey, I chose this. This is how this makes me feel. If I experience this again, I know 9 times out of 10 how I'm going to feel. There's a possibility that it may be different, but if you got a track record or something and it continues to make you feel a way that's negative, then why would we continue it down that road? You know what I mean? So anyway, stand 10 toes on your decisions, and you can only make decisions from a place of knowledge where you are. Okay. And so at the time when I got with my ex-husband, I didn't think that I didn't know all of these things. Like, I didn't know that emotional intelligence was a thing. I didn't know that, you know, I didn't know what gaslighting was. I didn't know what, you know, breadcrumbing and like love bombing. Like, nobody knew what all these terms were. And it's so funny because I just watched a podcast that I listened to, and they were talking about that. Just kind of how, like, now with dating, you know, everybody's looking out for these huge red flags and like just cutting people off because they have some things they might need to work through, or, you know what I mean? Because they possess these actions. But right. So a part of, and so anyway, trying to look for all of these things. Let me finish my first thought. Trying to look for all of these, the love bombing, the gaslighting, always a narcissist, always this. Like, just throwing those things out on the table about people. And it's not necessarily true. You know what I mean? And so it just really convolutes dating now, because nobody's really talking about the fact that everybody's got a level of something, right? But it depends upon the person's recognition of the something, and how they're handling and working through the something that makes the difference. Or if they're not, girl, because listen. So, so this was a very lonely road to be trekked. And I mean, and in all fairness, it probably was for both of us, you know. And so for me, by the time my daughter was done, I breastfed my last one for 2.5 years, bro. 2.5 years I breastfed this child. Okay. I stayed at home. I was a stay at home mom for 6.5 years. It was hell. I went from no kids to 3 kids. Okay. Really would have been 4, right? Had we continued, whatever the case might be. And I think about that. Yo, I had 3 kids in 3 years. Nobody talks about it, right? No, nobody talks about that. Nobody wants to talk about the hormonal portion of it. Nobody wants to talk about my mental health. Nobody wants to talk about anything. And then in fact, the gentleman being my husband, told me, well, regular women can have kids and still be wives and still be moms. So now I'm irregular. Oh, so that's why you're getting rid of me? Oh, sounds great. But then told me that he didn't tell me that. When I brought it up again, when he said it, he told me he didn't tell me that. So a part of this issue also, which landed me on this topic of emotional intelligence today, is the fact that my hard time regulating my emotions when I know what I experienced, I know what I heard, I know what happened, this person invalidates it. And I struggle to be okay with that. And I have to, I'm realizing in this like divorcing co-parenting space that I am a person, I want to put everything out on the table. I'm going to tell you what I did wrong, what I did right, what I thought I did right, what you might have thought was wrong. And I'm open for that conversation, but I have to have those conversations. Am I looking for closure? No, but I want us to be able to move forward understanding where we came from. But if you're trying to constantly deny or not talk about or, you know, whatever, just level out some new ground over top of this, like, pile of mud, it's like, I can't function like that. I don't function well like that. I want to talk about, because if you're asking me a question about why I'm doing something, I'm trying to give you the background essentially to tell you why I'm where I'm at. Because otherwise, and this is with people in general, my attitude is fuck you. Real bad. I'm not going to go back and forth, play semantics with you, and do all of this when I could just tell you flat out what you did to me and how it made me feel and how you got to get in this part of me. But if you're invalidating my experience about what happened and constantly telling me it didn't happen, or that's not what how you saw it, or this and that, it's heavier on the fuck you. And it's bad because I'm in this co-parenting space with this person because I got humans with this person. So I tried to keep the co-parenting real easy. Yo, are they sick? No. Do they feel okay? Yes. No. Maybe. Okay. Let me know what's going on with that. Do they need something? Okay. Yes. No. All right. Cool. We can have that conversation. But this like regular like conversation as though we're in some sort of relationship outside of co-parenting these kids, I don't have it. Like I don't have it. And I feel like I'm not obligated to give it to you, because if I start to have conversations with you and you dip back somewhere and I start to talk about my experiences, which I am well within my right to talk about, if in fact you're going to like do the dance with me so we can actually uncover these things, and I have to, and I can stop going back to these places because you keep asking me these questions that are rooted in these places. I hope somebody is following me here. No, you cannot just expect me to show up and just start doing some new shit and just forget everything of the old and just be like, oh, well, it happened, so I just got to deal with it. And that's that. No, you keep asking me questions about that place that you want me to forget. So what are we doing? Like, we can't do all of this. So we have to pick a struggle, right? So I am making a conscious effort to work on the managing of my emotions and being able to regulate my emotions in like spaces with people that I once really truly cared about, and I feel like they opted to continue to hurt me. You knew what my background was. You knew that I was involved in domestic violence. You knew that I had other issues. You knew these things about me. And instead of saying, I love this person enough to be able to work with them through these things, like I told them I would, instead of doing those things that you said you would do, you opted to continue to hurt me and get whatever it was that you wanted out of the deal. So we ended up in a space where, I mean, we're working through everything that we got to work through. But I just, at the end of the day, I feel like I was left to my own devices to figure out what happened. And I hate that, you know, because I thought he was a decent guy. You know what I mean? Like, I thought that, you know, and I ain't even gonna lie to nobody about that. I'm not in a space where I'm like, oh, I still love him because he's the father of my kid. No, I don't feel like that. My emotions around this situation are solely based in the fact that, yo, you did some shady shit to me. And I acknowledge that I did some shit as far as not saying and speaking clearly when I needed you. But also, if you knew that I needed me and the times that I did say that I needed you and you looked me in my face and said to me, well, what do you want me to do about that? Further lets me know that there was never any love there for me. It wasn't. You can't love somebody and watch them crumble and be okay with that and then get mad at them for not showing up for you because you're also crumbling, but you don't say nothing to them to let them know that you're crumbling. We were both doing the same thing, you know? And so, and I just feel like the difference for me is that I'm okay with talking about my things. I'm okay with putting that on the table. He's not okay with that. And so that's kind of just where I am in terms of emotional intelligence. And so my word to the wise, to wrap this up, because I promised y'all I wouldn't keep y'all all day. My word to the wise around this is just to really dig deep and to figure out where you are in terms of your own emotional intelligence. Recognize whether you have capacity to work on your own emotional intelligence. Where are you right now? Do you also struggle with being able to manage your emotions? Do you have emotional awareness? Can you name your own emotions? Can you identify your emotions? Do you know the difference between emotions and feelings? You know what I mean? And it gets hard. And those lines are blurred. Bitch, they be blurred. Okay? But we have to be able to do the self-work. We have to want to do the self-work. Because now, moving forward in terms of dating, right? I need somebody up front. I need somebody to tell me who they are with their emotions or not. And I'm not saying that you have to be fawning over me. Listen, because the mother, clearly a mofo can be fawning over you and think you is the best thing since fried chicken, collard greens, and some macaroni and cheese, the real cheesy kind. They can think you are all of that. Maybe a slice of sweet potato pie and all that shit, the sweet tea, everything with the meal. I mean, if that's your zhuzh, maybe you vegan and you do a little something different, but girl, you know what I'm talking about. A person can absolutely think that you are the cat's meow, honey. Sex is great. You look good. You smell good. You live good. You make good money. You got this, this, and that. And the person could just be in love with you, your personality, your character. Tell you they fully love you and won't give you a piece, a slither of none of their emotion. And will leave you emotionally laboring by yourself. And then turn around and tell you it's your fault that they didn't expose their emotions to you. No, 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 no. Vulnerability is your own job. The level of vulnerability that you give to people is your job. And if you're anything like me, then you're an overly vulnerable person. But if you're emotionally intelligent, when you recognize that the other person is not doing that with you, you don't continue to put yourself in that space. And then the emotional laboring then becomes you dealing with your own emotions, right? Okay, where am I at? How can I press through? How can I deal with this but continue to move forward in this spirit of like positivity, right? Or whatever feeling it gives you, like whatever space it puts you in, but trudging through that space. You're also trying to take on this other person's emotions and figure out what you got to do so they can be more emotional with you, towards you. For like you're trying to pull. It's like, it's almost like, y'all remember that exercise? Again, I'm 40, so I know. But y'all remember that exercise when we had PE, okay? We didn't call it physical education, honey. It was PE by then. But we had to climb to the rope. Had to climb the rope to the top. You know, if you ain't got that upper body strength, baby, you is out. I was always out, child. I ain't never even make it to the middle of the rope. But that's not the point here. But that's the visual that I get when I start to talk about the emotional laboring, just the, oh my God, just the hand over hand on that rope. It's just your fingers is red as hell. They cut up. You got the little pieces of stuff in your thing. You're trying. You're just trying to make it to the top so you can ring the bell and slide down and feel like you're going to find yourself in an easier space. So it's been interesting, you know, attempting to date. I kind of want to, but I kind of don't. But I love people, right? And I love just hearing like male perspectives and just kind of, and not even the attention of it. I just like getting to know people, period. So, you know, it's always a good time for me when I'm in a space where I get to meet new people. But that is where my eyes are now. I feel like a person who is not emotionally available. Listen, they will wreck your life. They will wreck your life. And if the person is open to being emotional with you, and you are in a space where you can take that on without having to do some sort of strenuous emotional labor. And listen, and I'm not here to tell you that you're going to be perfect or they're going to be perfect. There's always going to be that offset when it comes to people and their vulnerability and their emotions and those kinds of things. You're always going to see a very a struggle. There's gonna be a struggle there, because then we have to talk about trust in addition to that, right? And what trust looks like for that person. Have they had people in their lives that they've been able to trust? Have you had people in your life that you've been able to trust? You know, people get weird about sharing personal things because they're afraid that the other person may use it against them later. So you don't necessarily have to jump off the ledge, you know, saying you got to be emotionally intelligent, you got to be able to not be a narcissist, you cannot gaslight me, you can, because people are gonna have, like, they're gonna have tendencies to do those things a little bit here and there because of their background, right? So there has to be the component of want to be better from that person, though. And if they're consistent in showing you that they do not want to do that type of laboring with you, whether it be the emotions, working through their gaslighting, working through whatever it is that they're working through, if they're not committed to that for themselves, they're definitely not going to be able to commit to much to you. And that might be, you know, other people might see it differently, but I definitely feel like if a person can't commit to themselves in whatever ways that they need to commit to themselves to be better for themselves, for their children, and ultimately for you as their partner, it's not going to happen. It's not going to happen. And I used to say it when I was in church real bad. I used to say, listen, if a person can't commit to God, if they can't look to God for the things that they need and allow God to fix those things, this is before I knew that you had to do the work too, then that person's not going to be able to commit to themselves, let alone you. It's about a person's level of commitment to doing the work. You know, and I'm also a person, I'll be quite honest with you, also in marriage, I'm a person that I don't understand how you don't trust me, but you married me. I don't understand how you love me and you married me, but we got to have all these reservations within the confines of our marriage. I don't know how we got to that part. And listen, I'm going to be honest, both of my marriages went really fast. Boop. From 0 to 100, I was married. You know, so I never gave it enough time to breathe, right? And with my second marriage, though, I told my husband that. I told him that I felt like that. I felt like we get to create our own marriage. We create our own narrative. Everything that we've seen before, whether it worked or fell apart in terms of marriage, is not our business. It's about what we want to see happen. How do we want our life to be? How do we want to raise our children? Those should be conversations you're having. We want to know. Excuse me. I want to know that no matter what happens, you're here. And if you start to feel differently about that, that you will come to me and have an honest and open conversation about it. He knew that, but he didn't do that. And again, I didn't do it either because I was too busy baking humans and thinking that I was overthinking stuff because I'm used to being trapped in my head. But he knew that about me also. And again, for me, because I've been left to my own devices, as opposed to saying, hey, I don't really feel comfortable with blah, 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 or how can we work to do blah, blah, blah. But like, that's all I want. All I want is a conversation so we can communicate about it. Right. So there can't be, I don't know how to be in relationship with a person in a full blown relationship and just. Like now, right? I don't want to do that anymore. Whether I get married again or I don't get married again, I don't want to be in relationship with people. And my friends would tell you, oh, I call everything out when I'm in my friendships. Hey, yo, listen, I love you, but I'm not going to keep standing by watching you do yada, yada, yada. And you keep making these decisions that keep leading you down the same road. And I'm trying to help you. I'm trying to tell you that I see this, but you keep making that choice. I can't keep co-signing this. Like I can't, I've done it. I lost one of my closest friends behind telling her that I thought she was doing some fuck shit. And I miss her all the time. But yo, I can't co-sign that. I can't co-sign you sending your life down the drain, making some decisions that are temporary. Like I can't do that. And so anyway, in the confines of a relationship, I just feel like there should be a level of freedom there. If you're deciding to do relationship with this person, then you have to have a level of openness there. And I get it. People go through trauma. They don't want to talk about stuff. They don't want to dig back. They don't want to do this. They don't want, okay, you don't want to talk to me. Man, damn it. Get somebody you can fucking talk to. And even if you want to just come to me and be like, ooh, I talked to my therapist today. Ooh, I talked to so-and-so today. Oh, it made me feel so much better. Okay. Even if it's not me, get you some help so you can be better for you. That's all I want for people. So with that being said, y'all do the work to get your emotional intelligence together. Y'all do the work to get your traumas uncovered. Stop sweeping shit under the rug, because that lump under that rug is going to make for a very hard fall on your face, honey. You're not going to get nowhere, sweeping shit under the rug. It's not going to level out. It's going to stay right there in that pile and keep piling and piling till you come back in there and you trip over the bitch and you hit your nose on the floor. Now you fucked up. Okay? Just hope you ain't got no Berber carpet on the floor. At any rate, y'all have an incredible day. Thank y'all for listening to me yet today. If you want to do any sort of advertising on the podcast, you can absolutely do that. Anything that you guys need, you can definitely reach out to me. I am at apparently@gmail.com is my email address. You always have that. And I am a parent, on TikTok, not TikTok. I'm not on TikTok. I am on the Instagrams. I am there. And then I do think that I have a page on the Facebook. Child, I got to get my life together with this content. Don't agree. I got to know where I'm at. So I'm a parent over on Facebook. And so if you guys need anything, most certainly reach out to me. I'm going to start offering a subscription here on Spotify. So if you're listening on Spotify, shout out to you, girl. How you doing? And y'all leave me some reviews. Send me some emails and tell me what you think. The podcast is going to be all over the place. Again, I'm going to keep saying that just so y'all are crystal clear about what I'm talking about. Because sometimes I want to talk about hot topics. Sometimes I don't. Sometimes I want to talk about things that's going on in my real life. Sometimes I don't. Sometimes I want to talk about these kids, sugar. These kids are stressful, child. I think the next episode we're going to talk about being an older mom and the benefits and the cons about that. So, yeah, this new 40 space is special. So I love you guys. I appreciate you guys. Again, reach out, email. I conversate, DMs is open, and we'll talk to you guys soon. Bye.